Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are you? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday, of course, and of course, he is Isaac Bruce. Isaac, what's up, man?
Hey, everything good, Doc, man. How's life going, man? How's life treating you?
Man, life is well, man. I'm blessed and highly favored, plentiful and wonderful, brother. How about
plenteous
you, man?
Plenteous and goods, plenteous and goods, man. I don't care what the climate say, man. It may look shady on the outside. It may look like the mountains are leaving and the water's being dried up. But here, hey, all is well, man.
Hey, I feel the same way, man. Hey, you know, all is also well in L.A. Rams land, man. We're going to preview this game, man. But we feeling pretty good going into this weekend, man. This the way you want to, you know, you want to feel this week.
You should always be feeling good after a victory Monday. Big win to open up the season like we had this past Sunday. So, just moving on to the next person, man. The next team that's in front of you. Good matchup on the road. Our first true road game in Philadelphia. You know, time will play a significant role in this game, considering that we're coming from 3 hours behind. And, you know, it's a formidable opponent, man. So we're looking forward to it. And it should be a good one.
Indeed. Now, plenty to talk about on today's show. As we said, after taking down Dallas in week one at home, our Rams hit the road as they head out east to face the Philadelphia Eagles. We preview this NFC West versus NFC East matchup. Also, Robert Woods had a great game against the Cowboys in week one. Now he hopes to get another great contract. Hopefully, he won't have to wait too long. As for football, we know the wait is over. Football is back. Now, you might not be at the game this year, but you could still be in on the action at Bet Online. I had my money on the Rams over the Cowboys in week one. Hey, man, it's a good bet in week two over the Eagles as well. Now, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Now, Isaac, as we talked about, man, we took care of Dallas at the crib. First game of the season, Sunday night football, man, got our ball on. But we got the Eagles now. What's up, bro?
I got a quick question for you, man.
Yes,
you
sir.
We're talking Bet Online. Is there a line on Bet Online on when's the first time or first opportunity that we see one Jalen Hurts? Could it be this weekend? Is there a line to bet that? You know, we got a lot of pressure up front last week on Dak Prescott. We're playing a statue this week. So, I mean, what's the betting line that we see young Jalen Hurts either this week or in the week following?
Hey, man, that's a good question, man. I'm pretty sure you can bet on all types of stuff on Bet Online. So I don't know if that's a Bet Online, a prop they got going on. But, hey, man, that's a good bet to have because you never know, man. Carson Wentz is not that kind of mobile kind of guy. And, you know, man, standing back there, and he did get pretty much doomed in that first game against the Washington Redskins. And talking about that game, now, as we said, we took care of Dallas, NFC East opponent. So now we get to see an NFC East opponent again, but this time we're here on the road. Now, the Eagles coming off just a crappy-ass 27-17 loss to the Redskins in that season opener, but that was on the road in D.C. Now, the Eagles playing their first home game of the season, and they'll be focused, and I'm pretty sure totally pissed off. Tough game for our Rams. Eagles trying to muster some kind of confidence booster. Probably going to play well at home, but Isaac, man, this is the kind of game, man, we want to see, and this is the kind of opponent we want to see. We just took care of one of y'all division opponents last week. I'm pretty sure we want to do it again this week as well.
Like I mentioned earlier, man, it was a good start. Week number one, facing a very formidable opponent who has playoff aspirations. This week is no different. You're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. You've got that big that big travel plan that I'm sure, you know, hopefully Coach McVay and the powers that be have decided to leave, you know, tonight and kind of get acclimated to the time change, travel Friday night and be, you know, kind of quarantined in a hotel or whatever that needs to be. But it's a huge matchup. I think, you know, with what the Eagles bring to the table, the much diversity as far as offensive sets that the Rams will see, the coaching aspect of it, and Doug Peterson and what he likes to do, the way he likes to put Carson Wentz into positions to be successful. And I'm sure they'll try to establish their running game. You know, they are missing some guys up front from last week. Lane Johnson, I believe he didn't play. We got one Jason Peters getting reacclimated to the left tackle spot. So hopefully we can take advantage of that. But this should be another good matchup just to see how developed and how far the Rams have gotten to this point.
Now, Lane Johnson, man, 3-time Pro Bowl right tackle, man. He didn't play in that first game against the Redskins, man, and they paid for it. But he's supposed to be back this week, man, which is good because he's good. But, you know, Ryan Kerrigan, also 3-time Pro Bowler, man, right guard. Don't think he's playing, but Lane Johnson is back, as you said, man. And they're going to need him, man, because what the Redskins did to Carson Wentz, man, in that first game, like you said, you talk about positioning, and his ass was in a whole different position because he was on his bottom, man, a lot, bro. He fumbled twice. Not only that, he got sacked 8 times against the Redskins. Now, the Redskins got a nice little defensive line and a nice little defense, and they got, you know, they got the rookie Chase Young, but come on, bro. You give up 8 sacks against the Redskins, and they don't have an Aaron Donald, dog. So 8 sacks, Lane may be coming back, but Lane, you may be good, but you ain't Aaron Donald good, man. So Carson Wentz standing back there, you get dropped 8 times against the Redskins. Oh, my man, he better look out this week.
Oh, indeed. You know, the NFL being that copycat league, man, and once a team sees blood in the water in some particular position, it's quite obvious that the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line hadn't meshed or haven't had much time on the field and competitive and from a competitive standpoint. So it showed week one. I mean, they weren't ever able to protect Carson Wentz at all, had him pretty much running for his life. And that Washington team got to know him up close and personal for 8 sacks. But, you know, I'm sure defensive coordinator here in Los Angeles, we're going to try to take advantage of those same issues that, you know, gave him problems last week. I think, you know, with the addition of Jalen Ramsey being able to take care of one side of the field, man, that gives us an extra defender to try to put pressure on Carson Wentz and maybe try to get him to throw that football before he's really ready. So that would be my game plan. Make sure that we pressure this guy and be able to lock the guys down on the outside. Keep that one guy in the box. They always try to start to run the football, but keep that extra defender in the box so that, you know, we can kind of control and manipulate the offense and make them do what we want them to do.
And now we talk about the Rams and their great defense, man, but Eagles got a pretty good defense as well. Now, we got a monster in Aaron Donald. But, I mean, they got a monster too, man, because Fletcher Cox is – oh, yeah. He's a beast, bro. He's a problem, you know. So, and we talk about – and he's healthy, man, and he's motivated. And he's one of those dudes that really, really – he just raises a lot of hell, man, as – does Aaron Donald. Now, he's good. He's not Aaron Donald good, but he's pretty damn good. And now that Eagles team, man, now the thing about it, defense, pretty good. We did a great job of running the ball and mixing things up in that first game against the Dallas Cowboys. Goff, 20-31, 275 yards, no touchdowns. Did throw a pick, but that pick really wasn't his fault, man. He got smacked upside the head and he had a sack. But I like the fact that we were able to establish the running game. We talked about what Malcolm Brown did, 79 yards, 18 carries, 2 touches. Then he had like 3 catches for another 31 yards. So we were able to get that running game going, man, and establish that, and that made the play action work, which is something we need to go do going forward. But that Eagles, that Eagles defense, man, hey, they held the Redskins to 36 yards on 80 carries, man. That's just 2 yards a carry. So that Eagles defense is pretty stout, but we need to keep and stick with the game plan that we stuck with and just try to execute a whole lot better.
Indeed. Just like any other week, any of these 16 games that we have to play in the regular season, man, we have to put a premium on our run game, man. Not only just with attempts, but yards per carry as well. So I think Mr. Henderson should be a little bit more healthier than he was this past Sunday. Mr. Brown, he did a really good job. And then Cam Akers, when he comes in the game, man, just start to really solidify who he is as a football player first and foremost. And then, you know, once he gets his opportunity as far as carrying the football, man, he has to really show up and show out and prove why he's been that high second round pick that we have. So just coming into this game, Sean McVay, that should be priority number one. Run the football, set up the pass with the running game, and just make sure Goff is comfortable. His first, like we said, the first true road game of the season. So just make sure he's comfortable in his own skin. If we have to get him outside the pocket, let's go ahead and do that earlier, build up some confidence from that standpoint. But like we always talk about, man, it's the running games that travel, and a great defense always travels. So it'll be no different. Hopefully we get that going and get it going early.
And the thing about it, man, you say about, you know, our first true road game. It's true, man. The only thing it is just traveling, because no fans mean – I don't know if Philadelphia allowing any fans. I've seen a couple of NFL games, like when Cleveland and Cincinnati played, man, last night. They let some fans in there. But anyway, it won't be full. So it's not, it's a true road game because you're on the road, but it won't be the same kind of atmosphere. But what I want us to do is what I really just talked about, man, because how we did, man, a lot of misdirection, a lot of play action, man, making the defense go one way while you bootleg Goff out this other way, man, do a lot of dump passes and being safe with the ball. And Goff didn't force anything in that first game, so that's a good thing, man. And he also tried to spread the ball around. You know, Robert Woods started off well again, man, 6 catches, 105 yards. Tyler Higbee had 3 catches. Cooper Kupp, you know, he does what he does. 4 catches, and Van just had the 1 catch. Hopefully we get to see him get more involved in week 2 as he kind of get acclimated to the NFL game. But just Goff and the plays that McVay was calling, man, getting the ball out of his hand quick, getting up to the line of scrimmage quickly, kind of playing that hurry up type of offense, that worked for us well, man. And when you have a defense like Philadelphia, sort of like Dallas, because Dallas has a good defense as well, man, we were effective doing that, and we definitely need to be effective doing that this week as well.
Indeed, man. You know, we're going against one of the better defensive linemen in the league, Fletcher Cox, man. So, you know, that's a huge challenge for what we do up front from the offensive line standpoint. And I'm sure these guys are watching a lot of film on him. But at the same time, you know, we have to make sure that we go in and keep our identity and do what we do and what makes us the team that we are. So it's not about changing up anything. I expect big games for my playmakers once again this week. And I think this week could be a great week for Cooper Kupp. I think he has the ability to explode at any time. He was kind of quiet last week, but this week I think, you know, with games like this, he plays really big on the road like this. We've seen that in other games last year and just from the time he's been with the Rams. So just really shining that light on the offensive line, what we're able to do up there, and Cooper Kupp starting to wake up this second week of the season.
And we have to understand, man, you're right, man, Cooper Kupp, we know what he can do. We know what he can do, man, coming off his first 1,000-yard season last season, and Robert Woods continuing to do what he's done the last 2 seasons, man, back-to-back. We're going to talk about him a little later as well. But especially on defense, we got to be cognizant of the fact, man, because Wentz sacked 8 times, man. He was standing back there, got troubled a lot. But, you know, what he likes to do, man, is hit his tight ends, and he got a couple of good ones, man, and Goddard and Ertz. So we have to be cognizant of that. And our defense, man, we talked about Jordan Fuller, man, how well he played in week 1, man, led the team in tackles with 8 tackles, and Michael Kaiser, 7 tackles. And as far as the defensive performance against the Cowboys, man, it was enough to get it done. We talked about Aaron Donald as well, what he did, man. He just 4 tackles and 1 sack. But what dude was doing, man, and we didn't talk about this because we didn't see this Monday, but bro, what he did to Ezekiel Elliott, man, oh my gosh, man, just absolutely destroyed that dude. So, but as well as the defense played, they didn't play as well as they should have played because they missed 15 tackles, man. We can't have that. We can't have that this week, bro.
Well, you're talking about, once again, man, that beast called the preseason raises his head, and you're talking about issues, technical issues, where you don't get to tackle that much in practice. So you're basically practicing tackling, your tackling drills versus dummies. So when you miss those moments, they're going to show up. Hopefully that number will be diminished tremendously. I mean, we don't miss that many tackles. But, you know, you mentioned the safety who made a huge play last week, Fuller. This is another opportunity for this guy. I mean, he has the ability to cover. He has the two tight ends that we have to shut down. I think the Eagles pose a huge threat with Ertz and that crew. So he'll have a chance to really try to cover these guys and make sure he can stay with these guys and keep them under wraps. And, anytime you play a guy like Carson Wentz, he wants to take deep shots because he's holding the football. You know, that may contribute to some of the times he was sacked. So they want to take shots down the field. So I think that bodes well for us as far as penetration and getting up front and causing some havoc. And, it'll be a great matchup. Looking forward to it. And let's get it on.
We have to get it on, man. And the Eagles looking to get their run game on, too. They're getting another weapon back because we talked about Lane Johnson, man, the three-time Pro Bowler who missed the first game, but he's coming back. So that's going to bode well for them. But they're also getting their running back, Miles Sanders. He didn't play in that first game either against the Redskins. I think he was dealing with a little hamstring injury. But, he accounted for 1,300 yards last year, man, so his rookie year. So getting them back should be huge, man. And we have to also understand that Eagles offense, man, they were Super Bowl champions some years ago. So they still have a lot of those dudes on that squad, man, and making some noise and doing some great things. And we have to come prepared to play. As you and I talked about, we say road game, man, but you won't have all the fans there. So they should be able to focus and do that thing. But are you worried about the fact that, because I know a lot of people talking about my man who used to play for the Rams, man, Roby. Now he plays for the Eagles, talking about he's going to give them all the plays and let them know what Sean McVay does. And my whole point is, man, who gives a damn? First of all, that's what he's supposed to do. Second of all, I don't give a damn what he say or what he do. He can tell you everything. He can tell you every play, but you still got to go out there and stop us from doing it, man.
Oh, execution is the big part of anything that we do, offensively, defensively, from a special team standpoint. So if he can help his team in any kind of way, he should give up the info, because I knew I would. I mean, I've been in that position before, unfortunately, playing for the San Francisco 49ers. And when we played the Rams, I give the cornerback some tidbits, what this guy likes to do and how he likes
to do.
You turn states evidence. I was that hired mercenary at the time, but I was also given inside. Yeah. So, but he should help his team. He should want to help his team because it's in the end, it's always about winning, Doc. So, but at the same time, you have to execute. And sometimes it may put you in a position to make a play, but you know, say you're going against Aaron Donald on that one play. I mean, your chances of success, it diminishes. So, help your team out, but at the same time, we have to go out and execute our game plan to win this football game.
And we have to, man. And the Eagles, I'm pretty sure they want to play another, at least a complete game, because they was actually up 17-0 on the Redskins in the second quarter, man. And they just absolutely fell apart. So we know what they're going to try to do, man. I think it's just another good test, another tough test, man. It's a tough way to start the season, though. You play Dallas one week, then the next week you turn around. You got to handle and deal with Philadelphia on the road. And as we say, we know they got some good players, man. They're getting some good players back. Didn't have a very good week one, but the fact that they're at home, playing at home for the first time, coming off a loss. Now, people say they're going to be pissed off and more focused. But my whole thing is, you're a professional, man. You should be focused anyway. But I'm pretty sure they're coming into this game, looking at a Rams squad, seeing what weakness that we do have that they can take advantage of. And one thing I can say that they're probably looking at is that we got to tackle better, man. We just mentioned it briefly, man. 15 tackles, missed tackles. That's way too many. Now, but we do have a defense that has the potential to do some great things, as you said, and what we talked about. We talked about him 1,000 times. You really can't talk about him too much, but Aaron Donald, man, I just want to go back, because to go back and watch the film study and watch some of the game highlights of what this dude was doing. Bro, I don't know how many times I can say it, but dude is really unreal, man, because looking at, like we said, what he did to Ezekiel Elliott, man, Ezekiel Elliott is a thick dude. He literally drove this dude back, man, picked him up with one hand and just slammed him, bro. I mean, it's kind of hard to impress, like you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer, so it might be hard to impress you, but even that impressed you, bro.
Oh, absolutely. I was very impressed. Let's make no mistakes about it, Doc. I mean, right now in Philadelphia, Aaron Donald is the topic of conversation in three meeting rooms right now. You have the quarterbacks, the offensive line, obviously, but the running backs as well. I mean, those guys are watching that same film that we saw, and just seeing his dominance, his ability to fight and beat a double team, and use that one, that off arm, and still have the strength, you know, to pick up a 235-pound running back and plant him in the turf. So, I mean, he's just causing havoc. I mean, we can't talk about him enough because, you know, he's the topic of conversation right now in Philadelphia. So he's coming. I mean, he's going to be coming all four quarters. And Carson Wentz has to, you know, have his lunch pail ready because, I mean, Aaron Donald is everything that we imagine him to be and some.
And Rams, I'm telling you right now, man, you might want to put an extra safety in the game, man. Somebody like Taylor Rapp probably get a little bit more shine and a little bit more run, man, because Carson Wentz going to them tight ends, bro. He's going to them tight ends. He loved to go to those tight ends, man. Dallas Goedert in that first game got 9 targets, 8 catches, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. You know, like we talked about, between him and Zach Ertz, those two tight ends, Carson Wentz likes to hit those dudes, so we definitely have to pay attention to that. But as far as you're looking, Isaac, what do we need to do in order to win this game and start this season off 2-0 and take down Philadelphia, man?
Well, obviously, like we've been talking about, Doc, just run the football. Just be committed to running that ball. Give the ball to our backs, Brown, Akers, and Henderson, and let the guys up front start with the push. We highlighted just how the Rams offensive line was playing on the Cowboys defensive line pretty much the whole game, and we were moving people out of the way. Doc, that bodes well, man. So whenever you can get a running back started, that's very, very good for our offense. And it bodes well for defense. It gives defense a little bit more rest. It gives your special teams an opportunity to dictate and manipulate field position. So just going in, running the football, and do what we do better this week, what we didn't do last week, which is tackling. You mentioned that a couple of times. So I'm sure our defensive guys, our defensive coaches saw that on tape. And just make sure that we play and tackle better than we did last week. And we should come out with a W out of Philadelphia.
Another thing I want to see, man, as you said, we have to be committed to the run. I've said it before. I said 1,000 times. Last year, when we ran the ball at least 30 times, we were 7-0. Game one, we ran it, I think, 40 times. It was a W. It's no coincidence, man. That's really the formula, the blueprint that can help us be successful, because running the ball and establishing the run, or even having that threat of running the football, is what makes Jared Goff even better and makes him excel better and play better. And we have to continue with that, like I said, misdirection, man, play action, throw some screens out there, man. Keep that Philadelphia defense off balance as we go into this ball game. And I heard some people talk about 2016 draft. Goff went number one. Wentz went number two. So what, man? That's cool, man. You know, Philadelphia's won the Super Bowl. Winston, he didn't win it. He played well, but Goff has gotten us to the Super Bowl, so that's something to watch. But also, something else to watch. Robert Woods, we talked about it, man. Coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Great start to this season. 100-yard-plus receiving game. 6 catches against the Dallas Cowboys. Jalen Ramsey got his money. Cooper Kupp got his extension. Now Sean McVay saying he wants to extend Robert Woods as well. And Isaac, why not? You better, man, because that's a guy. And what I like about it, you tell me now, because he's a receiver, I like Robert Woods, man. He's smart, but tough, but fearless, bro, because he's not afraid to go across the middle. He goes across the middle and snatches those things, man.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a 5'2 wide receiver, man. He's a guy that can take the top off the defense. He runs precise routes. He has the ability to get open versus zone. He can run your reverses. He can run your Z sweeps, your 80 sweeps. And, you know, he's been really successful doing that thing. I think he brings an edge not only to the wide receiver room, but also to the entire offense, man, because, you know, he gets busy. He gets the football. He's a hard guy to tackle, hard guy to bring down. And I think his leadership has really, really been good for the development of guys like Cooper Kupp. And now we have Van Johnson in that room as well. So it's time. He's earned it. The last 2 years, over 1,000 yards receiving. Robert Woods is definitely one of those guys, man. And you got to remember, he's doing all this in his hometown. So he played at USC, and that adds an extra little something to it, man, an extra opportunity for distraction, which he is obviously playing above right now. So I mean, man, get your money. It's time to get him paid.
Now, as talking about getting paid, you think he's, of course, he's looking at what they gave Cooper Kupp and like, okay, I'm going to see what y'all going to come and get me. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to disrespect the dude, but you want to be fair. And I don't even know how much money the Rams got left to spend, man. I think they was close to the salary cap anyway, but you think Robert Woods looking at, okay, what y'all gave Cooper, I'm going to see what y'all going to come at me with.
Absolutely. You're not only looking in your own room, but you're scanning the entire NFL as far as wide receivers are concerned. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins down in Arizona, he just signed a huge deal, 2-year, $54 million extension. So hopefully, Robert Woods being in control of his destiny, his future. I mean, you know what you're worth. You know what the market also says. So when you go in asking big, expecting big. And, my thought process has always been do what I need to do, but trust God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. So go in, ask big, and receive big.
Exactly. Now, Isaac, Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony, man, of course, postponed. You're supposed to be in, do it this year, but yours is postponed until next year. So all praises to the Most High. We're looking forward to that. And I was watching the game. Dave Baker is a big dude, man. I was looking at Cincinnati, Cleveland. That's a big old dude. But anyway, Isaac, when you get inducted next year, it's a good chance, man. The 2021 class may have some Rams. So 7 Rams among the 130 nominees for next year's Hall of Fame class. Steven Jackson, one of your, Big Jack, one of your teammates. Torrey Holt. Got to get T-Holt in there, man, because Isaac Bruce T-Holt, man. The boys were cold, man. Cold together. London Fletcher, the London man. Lil Fletch, he was tough. Leroy Glover, okay, he's a former Ram, but he did most of his work with another team. But anyway, he played with the Rams. Henry Ellard, I know that's your guy. Sean Landau, it seemed like he kicked forever. And I forgot Wes Welker even used to play for the Rams. But anyway, he's in there, but it's like, bro, I mean, I'm going to, you play, yeah, but you count, but you really don't count. But anyway, Isaac, man, how you feel about that, man? Seeing these names of your brethren that could be possibly getting in the Hall of Fame. So when you're getting inducted, they do you all, then it's a good chance, man. You'll see, some of your guys getting inducted in the next class on the same weekend.
Oh, it's awesome, Doc. I mean, just seeing these names and, I think 93% of those guys that you mentioned were my former teammates, actually. So just having those guys, they have phenomenal football careers, man. From Steven Jackson to Torrey Holt. I always bring up this one stat about Torrey Holt having 5 consecutive 1,300-yard receiving years, man. It's something that's unprecedented that hadn't been done up until that time. So I can expect him to go in real soon. Some of the guys as far as defensively, London Fletcher, man, we talk about London was just the general for the defense of the St. Louis Rams for a very long time before he went off to Buffalo. But I mean, a fierce competitor. Numbers are very, very similar to a lot of guys that have already been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that wouldn't be a shock to me. So, But it's always great just to see former teammates, colleagues that you've played with and against have this honor. And that's what it is. It's a true honor, a testament to the work that these guys put on the field and off the field preparing.
And another thing, brother, I don't give a damn how many times you throw the ball, man, and what kind of quarterback you got. Bro, if you have 5 seasons with 1,300 plus yards receiving, dude, that's unheard of, man. And also, when you got a Hall of Fame receiver on the other side of you and you still putting up those kind of numbers, man, aside from all that, I think you said a little bit, what did you like most about Torrey Holt in this game, man?
Well, he came in as a seasoned guy. I mean, he didn't, you could barely tell that he was a rookie, even from the standpoint of packing his travel bag. I mean, just being able to really lace up his clothes real nice and neat and fit everything in there. Man, I was impressed by that. I was impressed by his knowledge of the game, his jargon, his vocabulary. So all of those things. And then when he got on the field, man, he just worked so hard. He started soaking up all the knowledge that he could from guys like myself, Ricky Pro from Oz, Coach Martz at the time. And he was very humble. I mean, one of the biggest things that people don't really recognize that what that group, the Greatest Show on Turf, had, that sense of selflessness, man. We were all in for each other. We celebrated each other. We applauded each other. We were the best decoys for each other when it was time to be. So it was never a point where, you know, I felt like this guy was getting too much. He felt like I was getting too much. We were all genuinely excited from each other's success, as you can see from the highlights that they show on, you know, on all the social media accounts at times. Just how happy other guys were that other guys made big plays and had success.
And that's another thing, man. You do seem to genuinely like one another, man. And that is kind of hard to come by, man. Not the fact, because you have some cats that be hating, man. But for all of you guys, man, to be number one dudes, man, you could demand the ball. I want 15, 17 targets a game and could have put in work, which you still put in work. T. Hope could have said the same thing. Marshall Faulk could have said the same thing, because all of you all deserve those touches. And just to see how you all meshed, man, and I don't care what anybody say, bro. When two receivers, man, because usually receivers have kind of selfish attitudes, but you didn't have one. You know what I'm saying? You was different. But people would look, man, they would look on the screen, because me and you being close, I just really didn't know Torrey Holt. I still don't know, but I was on the outside looking in. I was like, you know, Torrey seems to be kind of loud and boisterous, and Ike doesn't say too much, but that was just on the field. Seems like you all personalities were different, but getting to know you now and hear you talk about Torrey, not just here on this show, one of your best of friends, man. He was always happy for you, and you was always happy for him.
Oh, it's important to have, man. I mean, you know, the great wide receivers, the great running backs, the great players in this league, we all have that sense of selfishness. We all want to be the reason. But I think, you know, for the group, we all had the ability to just set ourselves and take ourselves out of the center and put someone else in the center. And that always bode well for me personally on a personal level, and as well as playing football. But here's the thing, you know, having 15, 18, 19 targets a game, you know, I played that way for a very long time while I was just the center focus of the offense. When Marshall was in Indy, he was the center focus of the offense. And between all of us, I mean, when Torrey was at NC State, you know, the offense ran through him. So, you know, before we all got together, we had a total of no championships. So that proves something. So when we're able to come together, all still be number ones, but at the same time, set the ego aside, it finished up with having Drury on, I think. It finished up with winning division crowns, conference crowns, and ultimately a Super Bowl.
Damn, y'all dudes were fun to watch, man. I just like watching those highlights right now, man, just looking at it again, because y'all dudes were cold, man. And I still be thinking back to Marshall Faulk, man. We were in college together in San Diego State. I used to watch SportsCenter like, man, who is this dude, man? Dude cutting up, man. So it's just exciting, man, that it's the fact that some more Rams could get in the Hall of Fame next year, man, during your induction ceremony, induction weekend, man. So I'm just happy that they even nominated. And real quickly, what you like about Big Jack, too? Because I seen Big Jack put something on Twitter. They showed an old highlight tape, and he did a jump cut. Big dude was good for that. Big dude was physical. He was fast. He run you over, but he did have that jump cut. And I seen him tweet something like, yeah, I had to go to my tool bag. Now, Big Jack, I understand, man. You a running back, bro. That's something that came automatic to you. As running backs, you don't sit and say, I'm finna jump cut right now. That just came automatic to you because he had that instinct. What'd you like about Big Steven Jackson, man?
And listen, I use that term big because that's what he is. I mean, when I first met him coming out of Oregon State, he's a big running back, man. I mean, he's right up there with Eddie George as far as physical stature is concerned. But very underrated pass catcher, man. He had really good hands, very underrated in his athleticism. And the thing about Jack is that I can relate with him because he didn't play on really many good teams, man. I mean, when he first came in, we were probably at the end of the greatest show on turf. We made a playoff appearance with him. But, you know, as we started to leave or retire and do what we did, he was just there pretty much by himself for a while. And he struggled, you know, just trying to just be the focal point of the offense. Although he was productive, he took a beating, man. And, you know, a great running back. Guy with vision, jump cut, whatever you ask him to do, he can run in between the tackles, get outside, and he could hit the home run as well. So he's a guy who accumulated so many yards running for the Rams. And you got to remember, he's the all-time leading rusher for the Rams organization. So just a great talent. When we drafted him, man, I was excited and very, very, very well pleased to be his teammate.
And I'm sorry, I would be disrespectful if I didn't mention Henry Ellard as well, man. Henry Ellard, legend. He's a nominee as well, man. I ain't saying nothing, man. Tell me how you feel about Mr. Elliott, bro.
Oh, you're talking about who I call Mr. Ram himself. You know, when the Rams decided to retire the number 80, you know, I called him and just let him know that, you know, when they're retiring this number, it's not just for me, but it's also for you. You can take the 8, I'll take the 0, or vice versa. But you're talking about a true route connoisseur, man. I mean, this guy was special as far as his ability to get open. You know, he had great stories about, you know, his first 3 seasons with the Ram. You know, we had Eric Dickerson, and they was run Eric left, run Eric right, and they weren't throwing the ball that much. So, you know, Henry went to be a punt returner, and he made the Pro Bowl as a punt returner. So he actually qualified for the Olympics in the triple jump. So that's how special this guy was and how he is. And even if I were to run into him today, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he's probably competing at a master's level running track right now, because he was just that athletic. He was very competitive. And you got to remember, when he retired as the number 3 all-time reception leader in the NFL, and I believe the 4th in yardage. So he didn't start catching passes until his 3rd year when Ernie Zampezi took over as being the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and finished with over 13,000 career yards with only 800 catches. So he never reached that 1,000 mark catch, but his yards per catch is what always made me know that this guy was very special and a great wide receiver without doubt.
Indeed, man. Salute to all those Rams, man. Good luck to you all, man. Hopefully you all get in, at least one or two of you all. You all are deserving, except for the ones that I mentioned that, you know, you play for the Rams, but, you know, you know, whatever, man. It's whatever. But anyway, it's going to do it for this edition of Ramblin'. Isaac, anything else, man, before we get up out of here?
Jake Elliott, we coming to see you. Coming to see you, Jake.
Hey, Memphis. Hey,
don't make no noise this weekend, Jake.
Hey, hold on.
Real quiet.
Hold on. Not only Jake, we got another Memphis Tiger, man. And for everybody to know, Jake Elliott is the Philadelphia Eagles kicker, man. He's a Memphis Tiger like me and Isaac. But they got Jannard Avery as well. He plays with the Eagles. So, Jannard, you better shut your mouth, man. We're coming to see you too, man. Bust you right in your mouth, brother. You and the rest of those Eagles, man.
Have a Coke and a smile and a cheesesteak and remain on the sideline, Jake.
And shut your mouth. Exactly, Jake. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc. He is Isaac. Until next week, we out.